Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, amen. Amen. God's good. He is good. Proverbs 4:23, we're going to start there tonight. We are going to talk about guard your heart, and it's all good because it's all the Word. Guard your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we'll start there, New Living Translation. Love hearing testimonies, love hearing what God's sharing with people. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is good. He wants to speak to us directly. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about guard your heart, and the Bible talks about this, and it's really going to impact your spiritual walk with God. And we start here in Proverbs chapter 23, chapter 4, verse 23, and it says, guard your heart above all else. Interesting thing here is talking about guard your heart above all else. It's one of the most important things that you're going to do as you walk with God is you guard your heart. And then it says, for what determines the course of your life? Verse 24, avoid all perverse talk, stay away from corrupt speech, look straight ahead, and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet, stay on the safe path, don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Interesting enough here, it says, guard your heart above all else. If you don't guard your heart, this is just to scratch the surface, if you don't guard your heart, what are you going to do? You're going to get sidetracked and you're going to follow evil, right?
Yeah.
And again, what the Bible defines as evil is just, again, it's just disobedience, right? We're not following Him. So again, tonight, guard your heart above all else. Very important. You know, I know that your attitude determines your latitude, but in the kingdom, if you guard your heart, and offense is very easy to get into your life. It can definitely throw a monkey wrench. Tonight, we're going to Mark chapter 4, verse 14. We'll start there. This is the soil types, okay? And Proverbs chapter 4, we just read, is verse 23, guard your heart. We're going to see Jesus talking about this in other ways throughout the New Testament. We're going to look at the Old Testament. We're going to see how it impacts people when they don't guard their heart. And it will wreck you if you don't, right?
Yeah.
How many people, I mean, you've read and just bad things happen to them because they don't guard their heart, right? Remember the 80s with some of the evangelists, right? You don't guard your heart. You don't do these things. we see over the years, again, if we're not guarding our heart, and that, it could come in a variety of things. But if we look at Mark chapter 4, and there's, and I'll, Jesus talks about four soil types. The first one is the seed is sown, and the first one is you just fell by the wayside, right? It wasn't even land in any soil, right? The second one is it fell on stony ground. The third one is it fell among thorns, and the fourth one, it fell on good ground, which is what you and I want to be. Good, we want to be good ground. Now, Jesus breaks these down. And in verse 14, and it says, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. So, really, the first one is, the word came, the instruction from God, and it just didn't even, it wasn't even able to do anything because the devil just came along and took it right away. Right? Just immediately. Then he goes on and he says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. But since they don't have deep roots, again, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they, here we go, have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word, right? So they get excited in church. Everything's great. You know, they watch a program on TV. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. They feel good. They're all pumped up. And, and woo, and then all of a sudden somebody makes fun of them, something happens, there's persecution, something needs to go their way, and then they fall away, right? Because why? They're not. This is all really about guarding your heart. It's about being a good soul type. So we see there that, you know, they hear the word, woo, it really, they're just really excited about it, and then the care, you know, again, the cares of life or those things just kind of, it just, persecution, problems come along, and then, oops, this doesn't work. I don't like this. This is uncomfortable, so I'm going to go back where it's comfortable. The next one is verse 18, is seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out, here we go, by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desires of other things, so no fruit is produced, right? So the first one is, we see that it's just, again, the word comes, the devil comes along and takes it, whether that's, you know, somebody hears that and they say, well, that's just garbage, oh, that's just religious fanaticism, and whatever. They come up with some immediate where they just reject whatever they hear the word, right? I don't need that Jesus stuff. I don't need this. I don't need this. The second one is they're excited to hear the word. Everything's great. And then they walk out. And, you know, I remember Brother Hagin talking about a guy was a deacon or something. And he was talking about, how God is, you know, we're move mountains with our faith and everything. And then they got to the parking lot, and his wife said, you know, oh, honey, the kids need shoes. And he says, what am I made of, money? You know? He's like, he was leaping mountains in church, but he tripped over kids' shoes in the parking lot, right? So again, it's we hear these things, and all of a sudden life comes along, and oops. And then the third one is, again, that the thorns represents those who hear the message but are crowded out by what? The worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desires for other things, so no fruit is produced, right? So that's where we get into, let's see, if obeying God and doing His word, but it's more profitable in the flesh to do this over here, I'm going to do this, right? So the allure of things and we see there in Revelation, the pride of life, the three areas, they're just hung up on the things of this life, getting things and chasing wealth and chasing the things of, you know, and everything else too. You know, some people, they're just so distracted with everything else that's going on, right? They got a thousand excuses to be everywhere except where we need to be, in the presence of God. And then the last one Jesus talks about, he says, the seed that fell on the good ground, good soil, everybody say, that's me. Good soil, right? Represents those who hear and accept God's word. Here we go. And produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. Now, too many people can get off on the ditch on this, and they can, you know, it automatically they're thinking of wealth, right? Or well, I'm going to do this, and it's going to produce this in my life, and I'm going to be wealthy. Well, it doesn't mean God can't make you wealthy. What it does mean is God, you know, it's like anything else. I'd rather be healthy than have $1 billion, right? The word of God can make you prosperous in ways, right? I'd rather have a soundness of mind, like the Apostle Paul talks about in the end of Ephesians. Soundness of mind, articulation of speech, and boldness of spirit. They're just things that God can do that money can't buy, right? You can have $1 billion and absolutely miserable. And sometimes wealth, been around people with enormous, a lot of money and everything else too. And it's like, you know, money can just magnify what you are, right? If you're a jerk, you can be a big jerk, right? If you're really giving and really, really, a really great person, it can magnify some things, right? So again, all soil types, except the good ground, have one thing in common. They didn't guard their heart. That's it, right? They didn't guard their heart. They didn't, examine themselves. They didn't, say, hey, I mean, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do these things. No, they get distracted with cares of life, the lure, problems, what have you. And then they don't guard themselves and say, wait a minute here. Again, they, you know, get distracted, and the devil likes to come along and bring about some lies. Numbers chapter 13, we're getting the Old Testament tonight. Woohoo! Crack open the Old Testament. Amen. I love the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. We talked about the Old Testament earlier. So, yes, we were talking about some of those things. So, Numbers chapter 13, and this is, I think we're, you know, we'll start in verse 1, Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And I think we're all familiar with this, the 12 spies going out. And really, guys, everything that we see people that crash and burn in the Bible, it's just they didn't guard their heart. That's all it really comes down to. They didn't put God at the center of things, their mind. They let, you know, the enemy come in. And that's really, you know, Judas, what? He just didn't guard his heart, right? I mean, we see people in the Old Testament or in the Bible that crash and burn. They just didn't guard their heart. And then, so we see here the Lord now, Numbers 13, verse 1, it says, "The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. Now, God has delivered, now I want to set the stage here. God has just delivered the Hebrews from Egypt. There wasn't one that was sick among them. They walked out with the wealth. We see they just got the Red Sea split. I mean, amazing things, amazing things, amazing things, right? So, all of these things that are happening, and God is delivering them, and He's showing these things, and you know. And then we look here, verse 27. The spies went out, 40 days later they came back, right? They're going to this land, and they came back and they're giving a report. Now, their report to Moses was, "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces." Verse 28, "But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified." "We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak, and Amalekites live in Negeb, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and Amorites." In my opinion, they're all parasites, right? Because they're living off of something that doesn't belong to them, right? "They live in a hill country, and the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." Now, I want to stop there for a moment, and I want to read here in Numbers. While you're there, we're going to look at Numbers. You just stay right there. Let me find it here. And we look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 2. We just read this, but I want to read out of King James because I love it. And it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses and said, they may search the land of Canaan," here we go, "which I give unto the," what? "The children of Israel." So here, God is reiterating His plan for the Hebrews, the Israelites, to have this land. He's like, "I am giving this to you." So there's a declaration like, you know, if God said it, it's done. I know some of you are probably not old enough, but there's an old commercial. It used to be, "When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen." Remember that? Remember that? Those old commercials. And then E.F. Hutton talks, and then people are like, you know, everything stops, and they're listening. You know, guess what? When God talks, people should listen, right? God said, "This is your land." Period. If He said, "This is your land," that's it. We don't need any more discussion, right? So what the opportunity is, we got to guard our heart to alternative thinking. What did we just read in Mark chapter 4? We talked about persecution, right? Problems coming along. We're seeing potential problems coming. And Jesus is talking about the soil types here. They're not going to be, I'll let the cat out of the bag, but I think we all know what's coming. I think we all know what the answer is. I'm not preaching to the choir. But moving forward, we see here, verse 30, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they shouted before Moses, let's go out and take the land, he said at once. He said, we can certainly conquer it. Verse 31, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed, we can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. Again, they're thorny ground here, right? They're not good ground. And then they go on. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites, and the land we traveled through and explored will devour everyone, right, who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. Well, of course they're huge, right? We even saw giants that are descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. I mean, I don't think they're exaggerating either. If you look at some of the pictures, if you look at things, these were massive, massive, massive beings, right? These weren't just like 9-foot giants. We're talking about, I mean, some of them, you see even pictures of their bones and stuff. They're massive. So what are they reverting back to? Mark chapter 4. Well, let's go back here. Again, Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read that again. Guard your heart above all else. The key they had to do right here, Proverbs chapter 4, was to guard their heart. That's it. There is no physical way they were going to take over these. They were going to take over these giants. There, no way. No way. No way. Interesting, I was reading some things about Jericho. And, you know, the harlot that they were called the Scarlet Thread. If you ever noticed that, there's a book called The Scarlet Thread. It's a really good book. Talks about the scarlet thread, and it talks about Christ throughout all the Bible. It's a really great book. I read it several years ago. So she has a scarlet thread in Jericho, so they knew that, hey, because the scouts came, and they're spying out the land, they came and they met her, and she helped them. And so long story short, read it for yourself, the Old Testament there. But I was reading, I was watching this thing. They think, scholars think that not only did the walls come down, but the buildings came down, all but hers. They're thinking, archaeologists are thinking that not only did, but hers is the only one left there. So again, it's just kind of interesting, and you know, it's kind of interesting in the details of things. You know, we were just talking about, Jacob was talking about earlier about some of the details. It's just that stuff is so fascinating when you dive into translating names and the meanings of names and all the details of everything that happened. And then you get into archaeology and it's like, this is incredible, right? You begin to, all these little details about things. But then I was also reading, they think that instead of the walls falling and Jericho fell down, they fell straight into the ground, which is only a God thing, right? Right? I mean, because, you know, if you just went, ooh, push it in, I mean, how great is that? But if it falls into the ground, that's sort of supernatural, right? But only God can do those things. So again, we're seeing these people are not guarding their hearts. The commandment was God said, I'm already giving you this land. And they came back and said, we can't. See, again, they're focused on themselves. They're looking at the problem, the situation, and they got overcome by it. And what did they do? They didn't guard their heart, and they became not good soil. No, and then we look at Numbers 14, verse 1 through 4, and this is the end of it. It says, then the whole, and you know, if we're not good ground, it is contagious, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can be good ground and you can be contagious, and you can be like not good ground and be contagious as well. So we see in verse 1 of chapter 14, then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. What are they crying about, right? You like have some kids and stuff, and you just go by and you're like, what are you crying about, right? We just have those in the house sometimes. The kids are just like, what, crying? Why are we crying? God gave them this land and said, it's yours, and now you're crying about it. They rose with their voices in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, and even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Okay, wait a minute here. We're messing some things up here, right? I mean, we are way off track, right? Ever been around people that are just okay, you're on another planet here. Like, you know, this is just completely demonic, and there's no common sense here at all. I don't know what's happening, right? And then they go on, our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted amongst themselves, let us choose a new leader to go back to Egypt. See how bad ground, if you don't guard your heart, it escalates into the most ridiculous stuff. Yeah. All they had to do is put one foot in front of the other and just go into the, and it's layers. But all of a sudden they didn't guard their heart, and then they, you know, entertain junk, and they're not controlling their attitude, and they're not watching or guarding their heart, and then it escalates into some ridiculous thing, right? You're right. God sounds like he would overthrow Pharaoh, which was the most powerful entity, right, in that region, which you've been there for 400 years, right? That would tell you, hey, you know, we've been locked into this deal for over 400 years now. God set us free. We're walking out of Egypt. We're healthy. We've got gold. I mean, we're seeing Red Sea split, where all these amazing things happen. God totally destroys, you know, the Egyptian army. And now we're panicking. So we forget about, we don't guard our heart. We're not, again, like the Bible says, forget not his benefits, right? Don't, we need to have a testimony. We can't, but they forgot about it, right? So again, they become thorny ground like Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 4. But since they didn't have deep roots, they didn't last long. And then they fall away again because of problems, because of circumstances, because of persecution, because of pressure, right? The devil's a master of pressure. Pressure. People can ignore what the Lord has done due to what? Persecution. Again, we can come back even in our lives just because people, for example, if you don't receive healing, it doesn't mean that God's not the healer, right? That's right. So what happens is, see, the children of Israel began to equate things. Well, he's brought us here to die. No, he didn't do that in the past, and he doesn't bring people out to die just because, right? Or just because we see something that, again, we don't understand, then all of a sudden we begin to make up. That's where a lot of the religious folks, they'll say these things, well, this didn't happen, so then God must be this. Maybe I'm not connecting with God. Maybe I don't know why. Right? But let's not create our own doctrine. We need to guard our heart and say, you know what? The Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. That, you know, it is his desire that all men come to the knowledge of God. And that, you know, everyone be saved. For God so loved the chosen, right? No, he says he died for everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, not only the predestined, right? It's every person. He provided this for everyone. Numbers chapter 16, verse 31, we'll finish here. This is a dirty snake called Korah. And we're going to talk about what happens when you don't guard your heart, and you let other people influence you, and bad things can happen.
Sounds like Mr. Gary's.
So this Korah, so again, we're sitting here, and again, we see people coming against Moses, coming against Aaron. You know, they just keep continuing to you know, God's like, hey, this Moses is going to be my guy. He's going to be the leader. And then you got people that, okay, we're going to have the promised land. Nope, it's too big. It's too hard. God's not big enough. You know, he's not able to do it. You know, it's just all lost. Then they come out. We don't like Moses. We don't like this. We don't like that. And I'm just really concerned because if God and Moses got on the same page and got mad at Israel at the same day, then what would happen, right? Because God's one day is going, I just want to get rid of him. And then Moses is like, well, then all the nations will say you brought him out here to kill him. And then Moses is mad at him the next day. And then, you know, so it's like they never get on the same page, which, thank you. But, so Numbers chapter 16, verse 31. Korah rounded up about 250 men who were, I'm just doing my rendition here. They're like the big shots, right? So he rounds up all the head honchos, 250 of them. They come out and they against Moses because he didn't think that Moses was the guy for the job, right? So then what happens is they don't guard their heart. They don't remember what God said, that Moses is the leader. And then what happens here, according to Mark chapter 4, again, the seed that fell on the wayside, Satan came and stole the word right away. But Moses had a humble heart, because here's Korah. He's just wanting to come in and just take over leadership, throw Moses out. Moses doesn't know what he's doing. Wait a minute. It's not Moses, God, the one that's God's one that's splitting the Red Sea. God's the one that's, you know, bringing him out of Egypt and then through the Red Sea. Moses is just, Moses has the staff. He throws it down. It turns into a snake and it swallows up the Pharaoh's snakes. Moses isn't doing anything. He is just obeying God, right? Trying to do the best he can with, again, they're often called stiff-necked people. In the Bible at that time, God and Moses are just getting frustrated about things. And so we're seeing here, verse 31 of Numbers chapter 16, and it says, he had hardly finished speaking the words when the ground suddenly split open beneath them. So what we're seeing is this, Korah's coming in and saying, you know what, I need to take over, we need to take over, I got 250 guys behind me that are kind of the princesses, are kind of, the Bible says it, if you study this, read this out, that they were influential people, right? And so Moses is coming back, he said, that's fine, because guess what, we're going to let God decide and take care of this. Then what happened? The ground opens up, swallows up Korah, that's where we're at in verse 31. Then the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them in, along with their households and all their followers who were standing with them and everything they owned. Oh boy. So they went down alive into the grave along with their belongings. The earth closed over them and they all vanished from among the people of Israel. All the people around them fled when they heard their screams. The earth will swallow us too, they cried. Here we go. And then on top of it, then fire blazed forth from the Lord and burned up the 250 men who were offering incense, right? So some people complain about leadership, just like here, or they're not guarding their heart, they're not doing these things, and what happens? Bad things happen, right? Because they didn't guard their heart. I found out a long time ago, and we're all work in progress, but God is smarter than me, you know? And we're all work in progress. I mean, I'm still, you know, we're trying to follow God the best we can, hear his voice. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. So what happens is we're not good ground, and we give heed to people, right, that are bad influences. Mr. Gary was talking about that. And so, you know, they're not good ground. See, bad ground can be contagious. Good ground can be contagious, right? And so 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. And we see here too that Paul is writing to Timothy in his first letter to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor at the time. And so we're seeing here that he's writing this, and it says what? Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will what? Turn away from the true faith. Why are they? Again, Mark chapter 4. They're not good soil, right? And then what does it say here? They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. What does that mean? It means they're bad ground, right? It means that the word came, they were, and then they backslid, they began to have what? Seducing spirits. All the it's they want the itching ears. Yeah. They want the new thing. They're not good ground and staying on solid teachings. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Here we go. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct rebuke, and encourage your people, what? With good teaching. What's that mean? That means we got to put the seed, like Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is going to change us. That's the seed that's going to produce things in our life. Mm-hmm. And when we become bad ground, we reject the seed, we reject the teaching, we reject the Word, we reject what the Holy Spirit has. Verse 3, for a time is coming when people, here we go, will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They're bad ground. There's a time where they're going to reject that. I believe we're there. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth, here we go, and chase after myths. Verse 5, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. What's he coming down to? Be good soil. When the word comes, receive it with gladness. Don't be afraid, of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. So we see Jesus is talking about it's important to be, because we can produce 30, 60, and 100 fold in our lives. And then we're also seeing that when we're not good soil, that we can be open ourselves up to desire, right? We can open ourselves up to the flesh. We can open ourselves up to, because again, we look at Galatians chapter 5, that's just the works of the flesh are just, again, witchcraft. It's, you know, witchcraft, according to first Samuel, 15:23, is the sin of rebellion. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and that's just control. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, good ground, we want to relinquish control over to him. Be able to produce some things in our lives. Matthew 24. It's interesting because one of them, I was already out of Rhema, but she came and she taught one of the instructors at Rhema, her and her husband. He was like in his late 30s, I think, and he had a heart attack and died, and they were pastoring a church. And the opportunity to get offended and get upset and demand God, perfect opportunity, right? Why did you take him? He's serving you. He's doing these things. We get on this rabbit trail. She had a couple, I think, sons at the time. They were maybe grade school at the time, I'm thinking, younger. But she decided to continue. She pastored the church by herself for a number of years. And then eventually she ended up at Rhema, was an instructor there. I've seen her on Sid Roth before, episodes of Sid Roth. But it's a powerful testimony to, again, the opportunity to get offended, to get hurt, to become bad ground. She continued to stay good ground and say, you know what, this isn't who God is, right? Yeah, some things, bad things happen to good people. You know, there's just sometimes we don't understand why or whatever, but again, it's all the persecution. When problems arise, people can, you know, give up on the word, walk away from these things, and we say, you know what, God is still good. Come what may, God is still good. You know, he is still a God of love. Like the Apostle Paul talks about, God is love. And it doesn't matter what my circumstances say. Brother Higgins, you know, say it all the time, it doesn't matter what my circumstances say. It is, God is good, right? I always like to say this, we as believers, this is the worst hell we're going to experience. Non-believers, this is going to be paradise for them compared to what's coming forth, right? And this is just a time. I mean, you know, the older you get, the more time seems like it goes on. And it's like, hey, we'll be in eternity at some point, be with Jesus. So, you know, I mean, it's just, this too will pass. So it will pass. Matthew 24. And I want to read King James and then NIV, and then we'll close things here. It says, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, right? So what's he saying? There's going to be a target on your back if you're a follower of me. It ain't going to be easy. And unfortunately, too many times, I believe that we have seen people and too many doctrines out there that you're going to get saved and everything's going to be wonderful. And in fact, you're going to have more problems sometimes than you did before, right? We've had, you know, new people that they get born again, and the first thing I say is like, you know what? Your old boyfriend's probably going to come back around. Your drug dealers or drinking buddies are going to come around too. When you get born again, it just, everybody shows up, you know, when you get born again. And they just, all the old, you know, all the old boyfriends and all the old girlfriends and all the old soul ties and all the old stuff comes back, right? To lure you back into that lifestyle. Or, you know, your persecution or loneliness, because now it's like, well, we don't have anything in common. So, you know, all my friends are, so it lures you back into these things. So, and then also too, it's just that spirit of Antichrist that John talks about too. And it says, and they shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Because what? Iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure until the end shall be saved, right? So what's it saying? He or she who is good ground to the end will be saved. Mm-hmm. Keeps your heart and mind in peace with him. In this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witnesses of all nations. And then what? Then the end shall come. We'll read here in New Living Translation. It says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated over all the world because you are my followers. You know, it was an interesting thing, a story. I was listening to Derek Prince one time, and he's British, and he was in the British Army. It was like right around World War II, right after World War II. But he says, you know, I never joined the Army and it was guaranteed that that everything's going to be wonderful. You know, but he was making that comparison to Christians. He's like, you know, I knew going into the military that there was a chance I could die. And then yet, we as Christians go into this thing, you know, how many missionaries die? How many of these things? What persecution there is arising, you know? The things that could happen as a believer, right? That there's this thing that God never, ever promised us. I mean, he said, you know, long life will satisfy those. I remember we were at in Tulsa, in World Outreach Church in Tulsa there, and the church was in an old missionary museum. And the whole wall was just full of missionaries who were martyred. Right? Good ground. People that, you know, and the Bible talks about in Hebrews that, you know, these people, they have often have rejected their deliverance, right? Because they wanted to be often martyrs for Christ in the end of chapter 11. But then we get offended and people will lose their faith and things like that when pressure comes and persecution comes and all these things. Then it says, and many will turn away from me, here we go, and betray and hate each other. Again, become bad ground, just like Mark chapter 4 we just talked about. And many false prophets will appear, will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Again, sin is just a release, an excuse to rebel against God. And it says, and the love of many will grow cold. You know how the love, not being a good soil, not having, you know, the love is not a primary focus. It says, but the one who endures until the end will be saved, and the good news shall be the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world and all the nations will hear it and then the end will come. You know, too many people that, you know, this is all secondary to them, right? If it doesn't, you know, interfere with my sports or my business or, you know, what have you, then I'll make time for God and everything else too. It's like, I want to be good ground. I want him to be a priority in my life. And again, Final thoughts here on this, and then we'll pick this up next week. But again, these are people in the end times that are not good ground. Sometimes their opinion is above the Word of God. You'll see people that, you know, they think that, you know, the Word is just, some Christians, they just believe that it's a good idea to live by, but it's not the central focus, right? So if their opinion and the Word of God, there's a conflict there, they take it. How many social issues that you see people are supposedly Christians and they'll take their social views over the Bible? That's dangerous. They're offended. Again, they think the Bible's outdated, antiquated. They're more enlightened than the Word of God. Well, it's, you know, old, right? They've been persecuted or have fallen, and then they blame the Lord, right? Things happen in their life, and they blame God. How many times I've talked to people that they've lost loved ones, and well, why would God take our, why would God kill them, or why would God let these things happen in the world? Well, they're just evil people. People who are not good ground. Father, we just thank you tonight that we are good ground, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, that we receive your word with gladness. Lord Jesus, and we take above all things in the name of Jesus that we would guard our hearts tonight. Father, we thank you. And I pray that, Lord, that we would guard our hearts against offense, against those things that have come against us, or whatever it is, but we side with you, Lord, and not with the enemy, not against the word, but we take up your cross, Lord God, and we take the sword of the Spirit tonight, which is a double-edged sword, Lord Jesus, and our shield of faith, and we move forward. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great holiday weekend. Eat some good stuff for me.